Welcome to the Holiness Today podcast. On today's episode, listen to Emily Aguilar have a conversation with Agatha Heap about her call to ministry and how God is using her in his kingdom. Agatha is an author, teacher, and ordained minister in the Church of the Nazarene. She has written for Holiness Today numerous times in the past and can be read in our most recent issue on discernment. Agatha has also worked as an interpreter and translator for the Church of the Nazarene, at General Board, General Assembly, and for various publications. Please enjoy getting to know one of our favorite authors, Agatha Heap.
Hello, my name is Emily Aguilar, and I am here this afternoon with our friend, Pastor Agatha Heap. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And so we are so grateful because you have collaborated a lot with us in Holiness Today. You have written a few articles, and we know that you have two books on your own. But, you know, for those who have not heard about you or maybe haven't read what you have written, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are?
Well, I'm from Brazil. I was raised in Rio de Janeiro, and I'm married. I have three kids. And now I live in São Paulo. I'm an associate pastor at the Church of the Nazarene in Atibaia. And I work with women's ministries. I speak at conferences, and I enjoyed that very much.
That's great. Well, thank you for taking the time to be here. So when did you get to the church? How did your journey with the Church of the Nazarene started?
Well, actually, my mom was raised in a Christian home, but it was a very conservative denomination. Mm-hmm. And when she was a teen, she had a history teacher who was also a Nazarene pastor. Mm-hmm. So she got to know the Nazarene church and fell in love with it. Mm-hmm. So when I was born, she took me to church, but my dad wasn't a Christian. So I remember them having problems in their marriage. I remember hearing my dad talking about divorce many times. Mm-hmm. But finally, my mom decided to get divorced. And I guess at that point, my dad didn't like it because it was her decision. Mm-hmm. And some months later, he killed himself. He committed suicide.
So sorry.
And I remember that. We were taken to my grandparents' house because he used to live there, and that's where he did it. And the Nazarene pastor was there waiting for my sister and I, and he said, I want to pray for you. And I used to go to his church, but at that point I was so sad that I thought, a prayer, what difference will it make? And I usually explain my pain as something very tangible, because I felt like my heart was cold and that hurt. And as he started praying, I felt like a blanket covered my heart. And I felt the presence of God, and I felt so much comfort. And at that point, I realized that I still had a dad, a better dad, that wouldn't leave me. And I really felt peace. I can tell you that it never hurt again. I had my days of grief and pain, but I felt God comforting me every time. And then the church became my second home, and maybe my first home, because I just loved being there. I felt so loved, and we had teen service on Mondays, and I was there. On Tuesdays, we didn't have a program, but the church had some space, and the young people just showed up to hang out. And then on Wednesdays, we had a prayer meeting, and I was there. And Thursday, we had a service for the whole church, and I was there. Friday, we had Bible study, and I was there. And Saturday, we had different events. I was always there. On Sundays, we had two services, and then three, and then four. And I was there for all of them. So I committed myself to Christ. I was baptized. And that has been my life.
Wow. Well, first of all, thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah. I know that that is something that a lot of people can resonate with. I feel like there is something about understanding the love of God from a painful perspective, from grief, from loss, right? And I feel like it is so important for us to understand how, so we have no idea how our people are coming into our doors in the church. What would you say was the biggest thing for you in your church community as you were just transitioning from a broken home, from losing your father in such a tragic way? What was the most important thing that the church did for you at that moment, besides the prayer that the pastor did, but the congregation, your community, how did that help you, you know, survive that grief?
I think that the experience I had when the pastor prayed was something supernatural, but the daily life with the church was very ordinary, very common, but very real. So I continued seeing God through the people's lives, and I felt that I had a purpose. My church had several ministries, and we got involved in everything. They served soup for people at night that didn't have food, and people that lived on the streets, and I used to help just cutting the vegetables and preparing the meal and the events the church had, like something for the couples, a special dinner, and I would go to help serve. And that's what all the young people used to do. We were involved in every kind of ministry, and I just felt like those people cared for me, and I had a place where I was useful and important and really loved. So that made a difference. And I just enjoyed being there all the time. I could see God in people's lives and be used by Him also, and see how other people were touched by things we did too.
So when would you say that is the time that you received that calling for you? To be a pastor yourself, to be full-time ministry. How did that come about?
Yeah, there was a missions trip going on. Actually, Point Loma Nazarene University used to go to Brazil every year. And our local pastor, the same that prayed for me, decided the church would pay for one person to go to that mission trip with Point Loma. And he had like Bible quizzing, and he had us read the Gospel of Matthew, and we had a competition. So I actually, we went to a big church, at that point maybe 1,500 people, and only three people showed up for the contest. And then the pastor felt bad not to letting all the three people go, because we were the only ones. And then he actually scheduled another test and had us read the book of Acts. But then he said, the church is paying for the three of you. And I was 15 at that point. We went to Mato Grosso do Sul in Brazil. And I decided that I just loved that. And I remember it was at the end of the year. We spent New Year's in the mission field. And I came back in and said, Mom, they do this every year. I don't think I'll be home for New Year's anymore. But then I made myself available to the Lord. And then I went to the seminary in Brazil. At first, I thought about just learning more about the Bible. And the local pastor wanted me to have a license. And I was like, no, I'm not called to be a pastor. I just want to study the Bible. But as time went by, I saw how much I really enjoyed it. And then I had an opportunity to go to Point Loma and got my master's there in religion with emphasis in theology. And then I got married during this time. And my husband and I went back to Brazil, and I actually got a district license. And I discovered that I really love being a pastor. I love visiting people, counseling, preaching, doing Bible study. So it wasn't like a dream that a child, you know, would say, what do you want to be when you grow up? I never said I want to be a pastor. But I thank the Lord for this opportunity to serve. And I love being with the people. I say I love being the church. And being part of the church and serving the church.
How do you think your experience growing up with the grief, with the learning, with the exposure of missions, serving in mundane things, right? Because sometimes I feel like we believe that if we have all the things right, if we have big ministries, or we have big roles or big performances, and even though just five people showed, you know, things like that, how God like was moving through it all. How do you think all of that prepare you for the pastoral care that you're doing now?
I think I always say I feel very common. I feel like I'm like everybody else. So I connect with people and I have empathy. And when I'm with the ladies, I'm like, our lives are so much alike. And we have challenges and struggles. I'm a mother. I have a job also outside of the home. I'm a teacher. And as I was growing up, I think I heard a lot about being called to the ministry as if that was the only thing that you could do for God. And right now I understand that our entire life is a ministry, should be. So everything I do, even like cooking in my house, I'm serving people, I'm feeding people, and I'm doing that for the glory of God. And I'm a teacher. I teach geography, philosophy, sociology. And I see my students as potential disciples of Christ, and I think I serve him as a teacher. And I volunteer in different things in town. I'm part of an adoption support group, which is part of the city, nothing related to the church. And I think I'm in ministry when I'm there, being vulnerable, also sharing my experience and helping people. So I think that I have a great love for people. I think the Lord put that passion in my heart. I care for people. And I think it's a privilege to help someone, to listen, just to be there. People share their stories. And I think that's so precious. Money can't buy it. When someone shares their own grief and pain, and they trust you, that's such a blessing.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for the ministry that you do, for the ways that you have been obedient to the Lord. And you know, Holiness Today emphasis is mainly leaders and pastors, but I also know that there is a lot of women that may be watching. There is probably young girls that feel so ordinary, that feel like, well, I don't know, my story is kind of scary, or my story is not really that important. Or they might think that they have a call to missions or to pastoral service, or just they want to love the Lord and they want to be available for the Lord, like the way you describe it. But they might think that they're just too broken, or they might think I'm just a girl, I'm just a woman, my life is very ordinary, I'm a mom. What would you say to them?
I would say that they are unique and they're loved by the Lord, and they were made for a special purpose. And it's in our daily lives. Everyone is living that daily life. And if we can share that and be support to one another and strengthen one another, that's a great ministry. And just being Jesus for people. And and being this love. Mm-hmm. And it's a path that you don't just give, mm-hmm. you receive. Mm-hmm. And it's so enriching when you just share and be honest, mm-hmm. and you can help people with mm-hmm. your own experiences, mm-hmm. and God can use, and He wants to use all mm-hmm. of us that's in a way. True. And that's one of the things I think is so beautiful about mm-hmm. being the church. Mm-hmm. It's because none of us is complete, mm-hmm. and we don't care for all the same things,
right?
And we are not able to provide help in every area. But mm-hmm. each one of us has some experience,
right?
And we can combine our stories and make huge differences in this world.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, thank you so much mm-hmm. for that. Thank you so much for your time, for everything that you do for the church. But how can we pray for you? What are some ways that our audience, and now that everybody will see your name in a magazine or an article online, how can we remember what are your needs? How can we pray for you?
Well, I think as an ordinary person, I ask for people to help me pray for my kids mm-hmm. so that their hearts will always be inclined to the Lord and mm-hmm. committed to Him, and that I may be sensitive to the Lord's voice and make good decisions doing what He expects me to do and not what I want to do. Mm-hmm. That's my desire.
Yeah. Amen. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Holiness Today podcast. If you enjoyed this production and wish to hear more, visit holinesstoday.org/podcast or find us on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.